This evening, my dear brothers and sisters, you can see on the screen, of course, we're going to study the prophecy of Obadiah with Brother Dave Fisher. And he's asked me to read that prophecy by way of introduction. The prophecy of Obadiah. So I hand you over now to Brother Dave to speak to us on the prophecy of Obadiah.
Good evening, everyone. The prophecy of Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. Briefly, it is a prophecy against the nation of Edom and how Edom is to be brought low on account of its treachery against Israel in the day of Israel's calamity. And it promises that the day of the Lord will reveal God's judgments upon all nations. At the same time, there will be salvation in Zion and Jerusalem for the faithful remnant. So, who was Obadiah? Within this short prophecy, there is nothing written which enables us to establish with any certainty exactly who he or his family was in any way. If we look through the scriptures, there are a number of different times the name Obadiah is mentioned. 13, to be exact. And one of these may have been the author of this book. Obadiah is a common name signifying the servant of Yahweh. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3, and Obadiah was an officer in King Ahab of Israel's court and hid God's prophets in a cave and provided them with bread and water. In the 2 Chronicles 34, verse 12, and Obadiah was one of the overseers who helped repair the temple in the days of Josiah, king of Judah. In Ezra 8, verse 9, and Obadiah is a name mentioned as one of the family heads who returned with Ezra from Babylon during the reign of King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah 10 verse 5, and Obadiah was a priest in the days of Nehemiah. 2 Chronicles 17 verse 7, and Obadiah was sent out by King Jehoshaphat of Judah to teach the law in the cities of Judah. So given that the identity of the prophet is uncertain, the timeline for the prophecy is also difficult to pinpoint with accuracy and has been the subject of debate. Some have the prophecy as early as around 840 BC. 2 Chronicles chapter 21 describes an attack against Jerusalem during the reign of Jehoram, which was 848 to 841 BC, by the Philistines and the Arabians. Others have the prophecy as late as 586 BC. 2 Kings 24 and 25 describes the attack of the Babylonians against Jerusalem in 586 BC. The country of Edom, called Idumea in the New Testament, extended from the Dead Sea to the Red Sea and was bounded on the east by the Arabian Desert and on the west by the land of Judah. It was a mountainous district with average elevation of around 2,000 feet. Its wild and rugged character is described in Obadiah. In verse 3, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. This was the land occupied by Esau, the ancestor of the Edomites, after the death of his father Isaac. The descendants of Esau also absorbed a people known as the Horites. There, Esau's descendants, cousins to the Israelites, built cities literally in solid rock in almost impregnable positions. They became rich by controlling and travelling the trade routes between Egypt and the East. You can see Petra on that slide there as part of the trade route. Even in modern times, the ruins they left behind, as at Petra, stand as stark and magnificent testimonies to their power and achievements. There is a long history of enmity between Edom and Israel, beginning with the bitter rivalry between the twins Esau and Jacob. The two infants are even recorded as jostling within their mother's womb before birth. And this even prompted Rebekah to inquire of the Lord. Genesis 25, verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Their rivalry became particularly hostile after Jacob tricked Esau to take his birthright and then deceived Isaac into the blessing he had intended for Esau, and resulted in Jacob running away for fear of his life. While Jacob and Esau eventually came together to settle their differences, this rivalry between their descendants continued all the way through the Old Testament, and the Bible record contains the following accounts of hostilities. When Israel came out of Egypt and wanted to pass through the land of the Edomites, Numbers chapter 20, to enter into the promised land, the Edomites wouldn't let them. The Edomites opposed Saul and were conquered under David and Solomon. And 1 Samuel 14, verse 47. And David became famous after he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. In the days of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, Edom joined with Moab and Ammon to attack Judah, and King Jehoshaphat sought the Lord for help. It's 2 Chronicles 20, verse 10. "But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And the Lord fought for Judah and defeated them. The Edomites successfully rebelled against King Jehoram of Judah in the 2 Kings chapter 8. And this attack seems to be the account that many people favour as to the source of what the prophet Obadiah is referring to. The invaders broke into Jerusalem and carried away a great deal of spoil and many people belonging to the king's household. During the reign of Hezekiah, the Edomites gave enthusiastic support to the irresistible Assyrian invasion and were utterly callous in their treatment of the desperate refugees from Israel and Judah. And when Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon devastated Jerusalem and its temple, and once again men of Edom, like loathsome jackals or vultures, joined in to pick the bones of their cousins. Even Herod the Great, the hated Idumean, descended from the Edomites. He used his Roman connections to gain ascendancy over Israel at the time of Jesus. The Jews at this time had conquered the Edomites and forced many of them to accept their religion or to leave the region. Though many Jewish people didn't care for foreigners worshipping God and adopting their customs, Herod was made governor of Judea when he was 25 years old. Hyrcanus II was king of Judea during this era in Jewish history, and his throne was usurped by his nephew Antigonus. Herod lost his power as governor and he fled to Rome to appeal for help. The Roman Senate supported his cause and ended up making him the new Jewish king. And Herod went back to Judah in 39 BC and married Antigonus's niece so that he could have some legitimacy to the throne and the Jewish people. He had to end up banishing his wife, Doris, and their son to pull this off. And in 36 BC, Herod defeated Antigonus and was finally able to claim the throne. The prophecy of Obadiah is split into two main sections. We have the judgment on Edom, verses 1 to 14, and the day of the Lord, verses 15 to 21, judgment on the nations, but deliverance for Zion and the Lord's kingdom established. So verses 1 to 4, the vision of Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, "Rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down," declares the Lord. Obadiah receives a vision from the Lord. God says he is bringing nations against Edom to battle. As a result of the coming battle, God will make Edom small among the nations and greatly despised. And the reason for this is explained in verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. The people of Edom are filled with pride. Pride is very deceptive. It makes us think things about ourselves and others that simply are not true. The Edomites were not the last people deceived by pride. We see it in the world around us today. And not surprisingly, these people will also be brought down low when Jesus returns. Verse 3, "You who dwell in the clefts of the rock." The Edomites were a small nation, yet what they could be proud about, they were. The Edomites, as we have seen, made their homes amongst the rocks with great natural fortifications and strength. So they boasted in the clefts of the rock around them, thinking, "Who can bring them down to the ground?" They exalted themselves as high as the eagle with their boasting, and boast they did. Pride is so ingrained in fallen human nature that even if we don't have much to be proud about, we will find something to exalt ourselves, while at the same time putting others down. And this also reminds us that we don't have to be rich or powerful or great to be filled with pride. Their pride was threefold. They boasted in their natural defences. The ancient city of Petra, once the capital city of Edom, had amazing defences. The city of Petra is accessible by a narrow canyon almost a mile long. At the end of the canyon is the spectacular city carved in stone and seemingly incapable of being conquered by any army. They boasted in their wisdom. The men of Edom, especially the city Teman, were noted for their wisdom. The phrase men of the East in the Old Testament often refers to men from Edom, with passages like the 1 Kings 4, verse 30. Declare the great wisdom of the men of the East. They boasted in their alliances and trusted in their allies, their confederacy, the men at peace with them, from verse 7. They thought that their alliances made them strong, and they were proud because of that strength. But verse 4 ends with, from there I will bring you down. The sobering truth about our own pride is that God can bring us down any time. He can shatter our proud deception and bring us low. Verses 5 to 9 show us that God's judgment against Edom will be complete. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom. Those of understanding in the mountains of Esau, your warriors, Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Verse 5, would they not steal only as much as they wanted? Obadiah says that the judgment coming upon Edom will be far worse than what happens when robbers come and steal, because they usually stop when they have enough. The judgment coming against Edom will be far more complete. Everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Verse 7 says, your friends will deceive and overpower you. When God brings judgment against Edom, they will know the sting of treachery against them. The alliances they once trusted in would come to nothing, and they would be double-crossed by their former friends. And the renowned wisdom of the men of Edom would be of no help to their cause either. Will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau? Their wisdom, though, was worldly wisdom, and God would bring such great judgment that even their so-called wise men could not save them. Pride, though, was not the only reason given by Obadiah as to why judgment is coming against Edom. Verses 10 to 14 tell us, because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. So the Edomites were accused of violence against your brother Jacob. As we have already said, the family lines of both Israel and Edom go back to a common ancestor, Isaac. As Esau, Edom, was the brother of Jacob, Israel, this made Edom's sin against Israel all the worse. Some sins become worse depending on whom we sin against. It is sin to treat someone else badly, but it would be worse to treat one of our own brothers or sisters in Christ badly. Verse 11, on the day you stood aloof. What did Edom do when strangers attacked Judah and foreigners entered his gates? Nothing. They stood by and cheered for Judah's misery and rejoiced. Sometimes doing nothing is a great sin. Numbers 32, verse 23, speaks of the sin that will find you out. And the sin it speaks of is the sin of doing nothing. Numbers 32, then Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, and if all of you who are armed cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. And this land will be your possession before the Lord. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Edom actually did worse than nothing. They rejoiced over another's misfortune and suffering and used it as an occasion to exalt themselves. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune. Edom's sin started with doing nothing, then progressed to pride over Judah's distress. Soon they took advantage of their brother Judah's misfortune and seized their wealth in the day of their disaster. The final progression of Edom's sin was worst of all. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. They joined in the attack against vulnerable Judah. When they encountered people from Judah fleeing southward from the attacking army, they killed them or gave them over to the enemy as prisoners. In the day of his misfortune, in the day of their trouble, in the day of their disaster, all in all, Edom treated God's people terribly when distress and calamity came upon them. And for all this, God's judgment was coming upon them. They stood by and did nothing. They rejoiced in their distress and calamity. They took advantage of their vulnerable state and then joined in the violence against God's people. Before we condemn the people of Edom ourselves, are we guilty of the same sorts of crimes? When we see others in distress or calamity, what do we do? It can be so easy to do nothing, laugh at others in trouble, or to take advantage of them in distress. And very soon we could find ourselves no better than the Edomites that are being condemned by God here. Then in verses 15 to 16, a promise of judgment. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. The day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. God wants Edom to know that though distress and calamity came upon Judah, it can and will come upon Edom also. That day for them is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. God will give simple justice to the Edomites, no more and no less. What they did to the people of Judah will also be done to them. The same principle is true for us. So if we want mercy from God, we do well to show mercy to others. Remember God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. The Edomites cursed Israel, so they were cursed, and so have all other nations who have sought to harm God's people. Verses 17 to 20, God will use Israel to bring judgment against Edom. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire, and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble. And they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. The trials and burdens among God's people are only temporary, because among them there shall be deliverance. However, the attack coming against Edom will be different. Israel will be the fire, and they will be the stubble, and Edom will be completely devoured. And the word of the Lord through Obadiah proved true. The Edomites fought side by side with the Jews, the rebellion against Rome in 66 to 70 AD, and were crushed by Rome, never to be heard of as a people again. The predictions of Obadiah were precisely fulfilled, and you won't meet an Edomite today. Verse 19, people from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau. Obadiah looks forward to a coming day when Israel will occupy and possess the land that once belonged to Esau. Though the modern borders of Israel do not encompass the ancient lands of Edom, we can trust that they one day will, if not in this age, and certainly in the age to come. And Jacob will possess his inheritance. Possessing these other lands can only happen when we first possess what is ours. God wants his people to possess his inheritance. Verse 21, deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Deliverers shall come to Mount Zion. The contrast is plain. Edom will be completely destroyed, and no deliverers shall help her. But deliverers shall come to Mount Zion, and they will govern the mountains of Esau. The presence of deliverers is a judgment against Edom, because Edom will have no deliverers. The judges will rule over the territory of Edom, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The brief prophecy of Obadiah ends on this high note. The Edomites seem to have their day against God's people. But at the end of it all, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. He knows how to take care of his people and to advance his purpose in a glorious way. Although the day of the Lord came for Edom when they were ousted from the clefts of the rock, clearly Obadiah also had something more far-reaching in mind. He spoke of the day of the Lord being near for all the nations, not just Edom. Zechariah also spoke of this day of the Lord, when all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to do battle, and then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations. Zechariah 14. Obadiah says, but upon Mount Zion Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Verse 17, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Verse 21. And this clearly talks about the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. While we still wait for these amazing events to take place, we can be sure that they most certainly will happen, and we can all have our own place in that time if we can stand fast to the end.